Chapter 7 Hartnell. Rex, sitting on the ground, could almost look a standing Hartnell in the eye. The sheer bulk of him, the density of muscle and bone, seemed to tilt the world in towards him. It was impossible to not be aware of him, Hartnell considered, when he was there with you. Unless, of course, he was hunting you. The thought of being hunted by Rex or one of his kin used to send a chill through him. It still should, he told himself. I'm a fool for getting accustomed to this stuff. Because Murray held their leashes, every one. Murray was just master to Rex, and Rex's electronically imposed hierarchy was slave to Murray's dictates. If Murray told him to kill Hartnell, the bioform wouldn't refuse. Couldn't refuse. Following orders was what Rex was all about. It was why they used dog stock. Rex ran on all fours for preference. He had a dog's blunt head, a dog's dark eyes in which any visible expression was at least half in the mind of the watcher rather than the face of the beast. He sat like a man, though, arms resting on his drawn-up knees. The pose made him look oddly contemplative, as though he was set to fire off a sonnet about the sunset. What's going on in that big head of yours, Rex? Did the dog man have an internal life? Thoughts and feelings? Monologues and debates within that reinforced and cybernetic skull? Or was he like the behaviorist said all animals were, a reflexive Skinnerian machine, mere stimulus and response? Right now, the question was more practical. What's going on in that head came down to whether it was some glitch in Rex's wiring that was screwing up comms. Hartnell had been scanning and testing and prying for an hour now while Rex sat patiently and panted in the heat. Elena Santo had met the other squad members, of course. Murray had probably wanted some gradual reveal of them, taking her deeper into his cabinet of horrors. Santo was proving interestingly hard to flap, though. After her initial scare with Rex, she had obviously fortified herself, probably re-familiarized herself with the squad specs she should have access to. Bees had fascinated her. She had walked round and round the big charging rack where the swarm was recuperating, new units hatching out of pupae to a precise, accelerated schedule. They just look like bees, had been her comment. She, Hartnell had corrected absently as he modeled their comms network on his tablet. She, singular.
The units form a single-functioning artificial intelligence, Murray had explained grandly.
He had stitched his good humor back together and put the flayed mask of it back on his face.
Bees isn't the best at abstract reasoning or planning, but her combat and reconnaissance versatility is unmatched.
And Paddington over there? Honey had been sitting, chewing over a thick slab of rations. She glanced up at Asanto's words, but didn't say anything. Hartnell had guessed Murray had all the squad on silent for now. He was too much of a showman to want to share the moment.
Honey provides heavy weapons and close combat support.
Murray had gone right up to the great slouched bulk of the bear. Far taller seated than any standing man could be. He stood in her shadow and slapped her on the flank, his eye on Asanto.
Look at me. I am master here. I am man. I have tamed these beasts of the wild.
Except the taming had been the work of a team of bioengineers, programmers, and cyberneticists in laboratories hundreds of miles away. But perhaps it wasn't enough to design and breed and condition. Perhaps it was the using of such assets that truly counted as taming. That was Murray's specialty. He had been running dog packs for various private security firms for years, getting a real reputation for efficiency so long as you didn't ask too many questions. The multi-form pack was just the latest killer circus that he had been made ringmaster of. And that thing? Dragon had been lazing in the sun, his dorsal crest up to make the most of it. He was a long, sinuous creature, a good 20 feet from his crocodile snout to the tip of his whip-like tail. His scales were a drab brown right then, which meant he wasn't trying. He was the least humanoid of the three vertebrate bioforms, only his arms looking a little manlike. One turreted chameleon eye was on Asanto, as though waiting for her to get close enough to lunge. "He's mostly from Anoli and Monitor lizard stock," Hartnell had said. And then, because laughs were rare in this business, "Funny thing is, when he got delivered, the doc had said, 'Anal monitor,' and we were all, 'Hey, we don't want any of that, thank you.'" Looking between Murray and DeSanto, the grin died on his face. And then his boss had pointedly asked if he didn't have some work he should be getting on with. And so here he was. "I don't get it, Rex, old boy," he told the huge slab of teeth and muscle. Rex flicked an ear at the sound of his voice, and Hartnell wondered how much the bioform actually understood about what he was doing. "Everything's in place. Nothing's messed up. Your head's just fine." "Good dog." Rex's shoulders twitched, and Hartnell's tablet told him the dog man wanted to speak to him. He opened a channel to his ear implant. "I want a new voice in his ear." Rex's voice was neutral, artificial, nothing like the gut-loosening growl of his audible speech. Hartnell glanced around to make sure Murray was nowhere around, then murmured back. "You want what now?"
"I want a new voice."
"We can't really do that, Rex. It's not something we can do." Rex just watched him with that mutely accusing stare that dogs did so well. "Well, yeah, look. Okay. Maybe it would be possible, eventually, sometime. It's not exactly priority at the moment, though, boy. I mean, you can talk to us just fine like this, and it's not as if you're going to be sweet-talking the anarchistas for biscuits. This is a weird thing to be asking, you know?" Which begged the question of where the thought had come from, and Hartnell saw a shift to Rex's body language, something more defensive, head lower, ears down. A faint whine, almost too high to hear, escaped the great jaws. Hartnell knew Rex, or he thought he did. How much was real? How much was anthropomorphic thinking? He couldn't have sworn to, but he felt he could read the bioform. Rex was a dog at heart, after all. He came of stock that had been learning to understand humans for thousands of years. Watching Rex then, he found himself thinking, this new voice business, where's it come from? Because Rex sure as hell doesn't want me to ask. If he posed a direct question, the dog would have to answer him. There was that hierarchy of obedience wired into all the bioforms and into Rex most of all. Murray was at the top of that hierarchy, but Hartnell came second. That thought was not a happy one. Second would not be enough to protect him if one of Murray's tempers led to him ordering Rex to tear Hartnell apart. Not your usual concern when dealing with workplace politics, but Murray was like a little emperor here in Compesh. He had his job to do and no supervision at all. So long as he got his results, His corporate paymasters didn't care about his methods.
I know such things about what has gone on here. More unhappy thoughts and the logical conclusion to them all. I know too much.
He looked up into the guileless, brutal face of the bioform.
You wouldn't hurt me, would you, boy?
But of course he would, if Murray wanted it. He wouldn't be able to help himself.
He wouldn't want to.
Hartnell had imagined the scenario more than once, usually just before the whiskey bottle came out again. In his little mental plays, Rex always hesitated, at least briefly. He scratched the bioform under the jaw, feeling the muscles there, feeling that strained dialogue inside between man and dog.
You're all right, Rex, he said softly. You did all right. You're a good dog. I'll see if I can get you a new voice.
A kind voice, came the machine interpretation of Rex's thoughts. Abruptly, Hartnell felt very sad, although the whiskey was at least part of that. He took another swig and patted Rex's arm.
You're all right, he repeated.
Did you find out what went wrong? Hartnell glanced up to see Asanto there, silhouetted against the bright sky. Probably he was supposed to say something that would reassure her precious shareholders, but instead he just shrugged and snorted.
Don't you ever take that off, he waved at her long coat and scarf.
This stuff has the best anti-bug screen money can buy, she told him, tugging at the scarf a little. Then her eyes flicked to Rex. So it and its squad were just on their own recognizance for a half an hour?
Rex is a he.
Hartnell abruptly felt frustrated with her, which he recognized as really being frustrated with Murray and the whole bloody business.
Rex and Dragon are he's, honey and bees are she's. Or honey is, and we tell bees she is, because that's how we think as humans. Bees is
they, presumably. He shrugged.
Bees is bees is bees. Seriously, did you actually read the dev specs on distributed intelligence combat units? They were not expecting the fucking things to have actual, but, you know, intelligence. They were supposed to be like smart robot sons of bitches. Just get a load of them together and have them do some math to make decisions. Only bees is like a person. Or not a person, not really a person, but you can talk to bees. Bees could ace the Turing test. And nobody in the AI world gives a damn because Bees isn't one of their super-mega-brain computers, but just...
Bees?
Actual bees, yes. Sorry, it was a bit of a rant.
She stepped closer, examining Rex. Tell me about the safeguards.
Safeguards, he echoed dumbly.
What happened when the leash snapped, Hart? I take it Rex did more than mark a few trees and bite a postman.
Hartnell
took the next slug of whiskey too quickly and inhaled half of it, doubling over and choking until a firm clap on his back got him breathing again.
Thanks, he gasped.
Asanto was staring at him. Actually, she was staring past him at Rex, whose vast paw had just administered the required assistance.
Look at that, she said wonderingly.
Good boy, Rex,
Hartnell coughed a couple of more times.
You've seen the specs. You've seen the safeguards.
I've seen the general lack of them.
Rex follows orders. He's plugged into a strict hierarchy, does what he's told. And when comms went down...
Yes? What then?
Rex made contact with a camp full of refugees. In the absence of instructions.
Just the thought made Hartnell's palms sweat, or sweat more. He couldn't imagine what had been going through Rex's limited thoughts right then. He couldn't imagine how it had happened. And the bioforms themselves weren't much help. It wasn't only comms that had cut out. They had no recordings from the squad's cameras for that period either. All they had was Rex's limited ability to recount what they had done. "They were looking for bad guys," Hartnell explained. They did it well, really well. Hear that, Rex? Good dog. Good boy. They went in and, I don't know, somehow nothing kicked off, and Bees was looking for weapons. He was kind of all half-assed because it's not really what they're trained for, but somehow they did the right thing.
Some sort of secondary programming, Asanto suggested. I need to shut up now. I really do need to just nod and shut up.
No, Hartnell's mouth insisted against the better judgment of the rest of him. They made the decision to play it that way, which is why Rex here is better than a robot. It's why bioforms are the future. Take that back to your shareholders.
And then the fighting kicked off? She pointed out.
Yes, but what happened was a shitload of anarchistas basically drove up and started shooting. And I don't know what the hell they were there for, whether they were going to move the refugees on, or they were going to press gang some new recruits, or they were visiting their sick grandmother. But they saw our boys, and Rex saw them and correctly identified them as hostiles. And the civilians ran for it, and judging by the relatively few non-combatant casualties, I reckon our squad must have been covering their escape.
Seriously?
She didn't sound convinced.
Hartnell opened his mouth, but closed it again.
I don't know, he muttered. Some of the Red Mark guys said it, but I don't know.
He smiled weakly at the bioform.
Sometimes I just don't know what goes on in that big head of yours, Rex. And I know you'd tell me if you could.
And he saw it again. That hunching and head hanging that meant, please don't ask me. That guilty dog whine.
You did okay, boy, he said, and scratched at the bioform's jaw again.
Unlike Rex, he could lie like hell when he needed to, and he sure as hell wasn't saying anything to Asanto about the order Murray had been trying to give when the comms went down, about the way that Murray was waging war on Compesh State, anarchistas and civilians alike.